Your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
We have some friends in the studio today to talk about the great things going on at Riverdale Schools. We have Mr. Jeff Campbell, who is the Riverdale District Administrator, along with Tanner Williamson, who's here talking about college and career readiness. And student Alex Schneider, a senior this year at Riverdale, is here. And Chris Simonson, as we've talked about before, wearing many hats, including directing and coaching and all kinds of things. We'll start with you, Mr. Campbell. How are things going?
Going well. You know, we've I think since the last time we talked, it was early in the school year, and now we're trickling into the later part of the school year. We've got parent-teacher conferences coming up on Wednesday, and end of the quarter, we hit our six-week mark about now, and got 3 weeks left in the first quarter.
How is the school schedule running this week, then? Do you have a day off, then, with the...
We do, yeah. So what we did as kind of the school board suggests as a way of cost savings measures is we went from those 13, 14 early release days earlier that we had where we'd get out at like 1 o'clock. Instead, we're doing full days to save on some cost of paying for lunches and paraprofessionals and bus drivers and that. And we have full days off, so we also incorporate our parent-teacher conferences in that. So the morning will be professional development for our staff from about 8 till noon. They'll get a little break for lunch, and then we'll take off from 1 to 7:30 is our parent-teacher conferences. And everything, one change we also made with that a couple years ago is we schedule everything online. So parents are able to schedule them online. So even the teachers at the junior high school, it flows a lot better. They know exactly who's coming in when, and parents can fit it around their schedule a lot easier than kind of standing in line and waiting to get in for a teacher. And sometimes that holds them up, and they can pop from place to place. So that's been beneficial for everybody, and we'll look forward to that day. I think the staff will.
That's a real efficient way to do it then, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah. Everybody was, we tried it 1 year, actually kind of more COVID-based was the reasoning we tried it, and it went off really well, and then we continued on post-COVID with doing it that way, and parents are familiar with how to, you know, use the online resource now, or the office will help them with that, and teachers have been very receptive to it.
How did homecoming go at Riverdale?
It went well. It was a week of... you know, a number, just the participation was great. We started with our powder puff on Monday night all the way through the dance on Saturday, all the activities during the week. Very positive week for our district. A lot of energy. All of our sports teams got an opportunity to compete that week. And so it was just a positive week all around. I think we really will build on that into the future. And our coordinators who were here kind of planning everything, all of our advisors that were part of it, they did a great job, and they got some big shoes to fill for the future for how things went. So we were very happy with it. Sarah Gruen, her first homecoming at Riverdale, and was very had a lot of positive things to say.
Did you get parodied in any of these skits? Did they have a Mr. Campbell character?
A little bit, yeah. My son played a little bit of me, so that's it's always good. So,
and they were on video this year too.
They were, yeah. We did video skits after the volleyball. But everybody did a great job with those. Too nice themes for all the classes. They're really coming around with the technology these days. The kids know how to use it a lot better than us, I think. So they produce some pretty good skits.
Yeah, that's awesome. Maybe some future Academy Award winners from Riverdale.
We might have them.
Maybe. We wanted to talk a little bit about the Riverdale School Board today, Jeff.
Yeah, so last week was our school board recognition week for the state of Wisconsin, and we were able to recognize our school board. Usually it kind of falls during the week of a meeting. It just happened to be our meeting is actually tonight for school board, so we kind of recognize them there, but we were able to get the recognition out on Facebook. And I just kind of want to give the recognition of these nine people that, when you say behind the scenes a little bit, I think school boards were always behind the scenes until COVID really hit, and they kind of came forefront, but they really make a lot of decisions within our district. And I think their role was emphasized during the COVID time and really made people aware of, you know, the importance of your school board and what they govern your school for. And I think we're fortunate enough. We have, I think it's about six individuals that actually graduated from Riverdale, and then also a retired principal. So I'm just going to kind of give you a rundown of what we have. Our president is Bill Tracy, Riverdale graduate. He's been on the school board. I don't know the exact number of years, but it's been a long time. Bill's really put forth his service. Our vice president, Nick Stitzer, he also volunteers as a cross-country coach, which is great too. He's right in with those kids. Treasurer Gary Stanek, once again, another veteran member, Riverdale graduate. Dave McHenry is our clerk, and he served as a long time as the high school principal at Riverdale, and now still continues to live in the community, and had his kids all come through the district, so he's giving back there. Mark Cooey works right up here at Schreiber's, and has his whole family has graduated from Riverdale, and one of our school board members, Veronica Harris, Ronnie Harris, works at Scott's there, another Riverdale graduate that we had. Mandy Kenyon, she's actually a new board member as of August, took on her, actually as of July, I should say, and then Riverdale graduate there. And the last two are also Riverdale graduates, Darren Miller, which has had kids go through the district, and then Darren Meese came on a couple years ago, and he's also a Riverdale graduate. So very, very proud of these people and the way they handle themselves and the way we're officially able to run our school with their support.
That is a good group, because you've got some, as you mentioned, been on for a while. You've got some new people, bringing some new ideas.
Yeah, we do. We don't have a huge turnover with it, which is nice. We just had one resignation this past year, Travis Hudson, who had spent the 10 years on our school board. So his daughter had moved through, and he said to move on. So it allowed somebody else with a little younger family to jump on there and really be part of our board and, bring those. And it's always nice, like you say, to bring new ideas and fresh ideas to it from the things that they see from the outside.
You as administrator work closely with them, don't you?
Do, yeah. I mean, they're pretty much my boss, and but I've got to work closely with this group, and I'm in constant contact with the president and other members if needed. Try to provide them an update at least between board members, at least once, maybe twice, of the things that are going on within our district, so they're kept up to date on things. And I'm very open with them and let them know that we want to know those concerns, not just waiting till the board meetings, but ahead of time if there's concerns from our public. And our public and our constituents need to know that those, they can contact them at any time, any of their board members from their area or any of the board members, if they do have concerns, because it's a nice way to are elected through there, through the constituents. So it's important that they have their voice through those board members, and we can all work together to find the solutions that people might have within our district.
School boards face challenges these days, and moving forward, they've got a lot on their plate, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And I think that's what we're very appreciative for, the people that spend our time coming to those board meetings and making these difficult decisions. Some meetings, there's not as much to go over or to make decisions on, and then at other times there's big decisions to make. And in any type of leadership role or board role, you make decisions what you feel like is best interest for all kids. And that's difficult, especially when you're in a position where you might have a interest in a certain area, but you have to think of it as a whole, and that's important, and our board does a great job with that. They kind of lead me in that direction too, and we work well together with that in the short time we've been here. And I've been fortunate to work with these people under a number of different roles within the district. So I know a lot of them. I know a lot of them personally as I grew up through the district. So those relationships are important. And the one thing I think our board excels at too is the ability to kind of state an opinion in a positive manner, but also state the opinion what's best for everybody. And they go back and forth and have some constructive conversations that benefit the district. And that's what I appreciate the most out of this group of people.
We're just grateful that people step forward and serve, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's not an easy job at all.
No, not at all. Well, you brought along some friends today that helped make Riverdale tick, right?
Yeah, sure did. So we got a number of people here, including a student. And I think this is something that we'll continue to do throughout the next couple months. We want to just kind of showcase what we do at Riverdale, and it's nice to get these staff members right in front of the mic, too.
Indeed. Here he is wearing another hat today, Chris Simonson. He's a regular on the morning show these days. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm well. Thanks for having me here, Phil and Jeff.
Let's talk a little bit about sports right now. You're the cross-country coach, and yep. You just recently had one of the biggest meets in the area on Saturday. How did that go?
Went very well. Yeah, big meet. 24 total teams, 668 runners were registered, I believe. A lot of kids, a lot of exciting races. You know, this invitational has grown from the six or seven teams that it began with close to 30 years ago. I believe this was the 25th or 26th year that Riverdale has hosted this. I would have to go back through the records to be sure, but the meet continues to grow, and it's a nice tune-up for conference, which is coming up for most schools here next week.
And you get the opportunity to host this. This is a great thing for this year's team, isn't it?
It really is. You know, kids, our kids especially love to run here, but we find it's a favorite of a lot of other teams because, well, as you know, down here in the Wisconsin River Valley, there are no hills on our course. So it's an incredibly fast course, and kids just love to come and run here. I was speaking with the coach from Reedsburg on Saturday. They were adding another meet, and he joked with them, just kind of fool with them a little bit. He said, well, we're picking up this other meet so that we'll know what we're running at sectionals. And I think as a result, we're going to drop Riverdale. And they said, no, no, not really, because I didn't think you could. No, we want to go. So, this is a favorite of an awful lot of teams.
Got a lot of really good times on Saturday, too.
Fantastic times. You know, again, the course is, it's well-groomed. It's a beautiful course once you get on the DNR land back in the trails with the woods and things like that and through the park down by the river. But, yeah, it's a quick course with a lot of runners.
Weather looks to be pretty good for Thursday. So you've been fortunate. You haven't had bad weather days often, have you?
We have not. Other than the basketball night run a few weeks ago, that was rescheduled to the following Friday night because of lightning happening. We got in our middle school girls race, and at that point they said, you know, let's head to the buses and see what's happening, and we never came back. So they rescheduled it for the next night, but other than that, yeah, we have had fantastic weather all season, and it looks to be good on Thursday when it's our turn to host the SWAL conference meet this year.
I had to think, when you had the number of runners you did Saturday at Riverdale, it's really an advantage to get off to a good start, because if you get stuck in the back somewhere, you're going to be really having a hard time getting around everybody, aren't you?
It is, and that's one of the things that we talk to the kids about in our coaching, in our strategy coaching. Because you've got about 100 meters or so, and it narrows up pretty quickly to a spot about 12 or 15 feet wide where you can run comfortably, and then a couple of hundred meters after that you turn right into the woods, and there are places where it's only 6 feet wide. So yeah, you need to get out and go and make sure you're in a good spot so you don't get bunched back in. And you know, inexperienced runners learn that real quickly. Yeah, these coaches, what do they know? I'll be fine right here. I couldn't get past anyone. Yeah, that's what we told you. So,
It's a great conference that you compete in, and that's probably the only detriment is that you're looking at some state-caliber runners and teams right there in the SWAL, aren't you?
Boy, we are, and it's been that way for a long, long time. You know, before the old SWAL became the new SWAL and, you know, the Southern Eight and all of that kind of stuff. But, we've got quality teams who have won state. Fenimore, Boscobel, Iowa Grant, Darlington are in our conference, and they have all won state since we've been a conference. So, yeah.
Basketball boys had a big day on Saturday too.
They did. They ran. They ran very, very well. Yeah, they've got a, solid team. And on Thursday, we're going to see Fenimore's girls, and they are tough as nails as well. So yeah, some really great athletes, and you know, the real athletes like to compete against the best, as opposed to just saying, oh, you know what, I can beat everyone here, so this is nice. So it's, you know, it's a great opportunity for all the runners to show what they're capable of as a nice tune-up for then the regional meet, which would be happening the next week, either Friday or Saturday.
Not only coaching cross-country, but moving indoors, you're one of the co-directors of the One Act Play. I had to think you should go back to full-time so then you don't work as hard.
Then I'd have to give up my job here. Is that what you're hinting at?
No. It's just like you're busier now than you were a few years ago, it seems like.
I laughed at retirees who would say that and say, well, it must be nice to be retired. You've got, and to a person, they would say, I am busier now than I was when I was working. And I laughed and thought, yeah, right. They were right. And you know, but that's okay. I'm doing the things that I want to do in retirement. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's nice to be able to be back working with the kids on theater things. Yes.
And who is your co-director?
Co-director is Catherine Benedict. She is a paraprofessional within the district. This is her second year at the district. And they moved here from Yuma, Arizona, a year ago with their daughter, she was involved with the plays last year, and when we had an opening for an assistant or co-director, Catherine came forward and said, you know what, I have an associate's degree in theater, and we said, yeah, baby, so so yes, please come join us, please come help us, and things are going well, I feel.
Tell us about this year's play. What's the title?
The title is When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors. The story is these kids are putting on a one-act version of The Wizard of Oz that was adapted by their director, who is a director in absentia. She's never there. They're doing their final run-through, and she's off on a date. And the stage manager doesn't have a script to give people cues, and the sound person keeps messing things up. And there's no music from the movie. We can't do that. We don't have the rights for that. So there are no songs. There's some made-up characters. There's an Uncle Ben. Is that Cousin Ben? Uncle Ben?
I think so.
I think it's Uncle Ben who the director made up as kind of a narrator. And the character says, you know what? He's not in the movie. He's not even in any of the books. I don't know where this comes from. So these poor kids are on stage doing their best with costumes that aren't completed, with props and set pieces that aren't really there. So they're struggling comedically through this. And as actors, we feel their pain because, unfortunately, we've all been in a situation like that at least once in our lives where nothing comes together properly. But the kids are having a good time with it, and they're doing a nice job.
Yeah, I have that dream every once in a while that I'm going to play, and I'm not sure what play it is. And
don't you? For me, it's always The Music Man. And for whatever reason, I'm standing backstage at River Valley, and somebody's saying, well, you remember this from 1978, don't you? Go. What? And we will compete. This is the One Act Festival. It's part of the Wisconsin High School Forensics Association. So, you know, when you pay your dues for forensics, that also allows you to do one act and debates and things like that. We are competing for the first time with this season at Reedsburg this Saturday at 2:30 at their Performing Arts Center there.
Good luck with that.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Alex Schneider is here as well, a member of your cast. And good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Great to have you in here. Tell me about your role with the one-act play.
So I am Dorothy in our one-act play. It's been a pretty fun role to fill, as I do get some lines here and there that really show me as Dorothy. But I'm also, towards the end of the show, I get some lines showing my displeasure with how the play has come together. I have a fun little rant I get to go on, and I'm yelling at the audience about how I'm so frustrated with how this has all gone. I've done my part. None of you have done yours. And it's been a really fun experience. I think as actors, it's pretty fun to break that fourth wall at times. And there's a lot of good lines. The playwright who wrote this one act also wrote our one act from last year, as that was also a really fun script. They've both been really fun to kind of experiment with different ways to interact with characters. And yeah, it's been a really fun script to do.
That's an interesting role, because it's Alex playing Dorothy, and then Dorothy, you know, you're kind of playing the character that's playing Dorothy talking to the audience. So.
Yeah, there's a couple lines here and there where the characters are like, Alex, the stage is for singing and dancing, not talking. And I have to respond more as myself, but also Dorothy. It's a really fun way to be able to show your emotion on stage while also showing, because it's not really me, it's this girl who's just up on stage and she's struggling. So I have to fill a few different roles there, and that's it's a fun challenge, being able to convey those emotions.
Do you have a Toto?
Yes, we do have a Toto. Adrian, he is a very good actor. He's been it's just the character is interesting in and of itself, because towards the end, Toto has a few lines here and there, like actually talking. And I'm like, Adrian, you need to be a professional. And then he gets up at the end and is like, I am a professional. I'm going to Juilliard next year and I'm dressed up as a giant dog. And it's just, like I said, being able to break that fourth wall with some of those characters is really fun. And I was curious when we got the, when I got the script, I was like, oh, who's going to be our Toto? But Adrian has filled those shoes really well. experimenting with our different barking sounds has been lots of fun.
That's awesome. You've been involved in a lot of Riverdale productions, haven't you?
Yeah, so I joined my sophomore year. I wish I could say I joined my freshman year, but, you know, I've loved every minute of it since I have joined sophomore year. We went to, I believe, District with How to Get Into College, and then last year we went to State with iChorus. That was a ton of fun. And then we have this year's one act, and then during Christmas time we come in here to WRCO and speak about, we do our Christmas play, our radio show, and that's always a lot of fun too. There's definitely not as much preparation involved in that, which is nice, but it still keeps you in the acting mindset between that one act in the fall and the full production in the spring. And the full production in the spring is also a lot of fun, because I wouldn't say there's so much pressure because we're not competing. I think that competing aspect puts more pressure on you in the fall. But then in the spring, we can go into that full production mindset where we're getting more detailed with props and lighting and costuming. And I think we get more time in the spring to be able to put work into our characters, which is nice. But the competition aspect in the fall is also a lot of fun.
It probably gets you fired up there for this thing, but it's different than a regular forensics event, because usually you're just yourself, you know.
This is because I also do forensics myself, and when I do forensics, I'm usually by myself. But this is also, I think the great thing about drama is being able to have trust in these people and knowing that they've got your back and you've got their back. If there's a line slip up, I was talking to a couple castmates the other day, and they were saying last year at State for iChorus, one of our other actors, he just graduated last year, he had a couple lines that he had forgotten, and the two girls on stage, they saved him a couple times, and we still did really well. I mean, even after those slip ups, they had his back, and I think it's nice to be able to know that we're all there for each other, and we've got each other.
Sounds like this year, you know, where you're doing the Wizard of Oz, too. If you messed up a line, it'd be easy to fill it with an ad lib of some. They may not know the difference.
Yeah, and that's what's really great, because we've been talking about if we're on stage and we're like, oh, what if I forget this? It's like, that's fine. Ad lib it, because nobody, like, it's supposed to be a mess. And then there's a couple times where, like, we're wondering about props and the witch's broom. I think we did end up getting an actual straw broom, but originally we were talking about getting, like, an oak cedar broom for the Wicked Witch of the West's broom. And so it's just fun to be able to experiment with bad props. And considering Riverdale has a small drama department, I think this is a very versatile show to be able to work with whatever size drama department you have, because we don't have as much money as maybe other schools do, or we don't have the space to be able to build these large sets. So it's, if we can say, oh, this is how it's supposed to be, then we have a reason to not have as many things, which is nice.
What are some other clubs you're involved in at Riverdale, Alex?
Well, in the fall, I'm involved in drama, and I'm also in Leo Club, which is an all-year thing. Mr. Simonson here is the advisor for that, and that's an organization. We volunteer and help with things. It's nice to be able to help people in the community with that. And throughout the year, I'm also involved in Educators Rising. It is a new club. It was formed in 2016. And I think we just reached our 100 club mark for the state of Wisconsin, I think just this year. It's just for students who aspire to be an educator someday or somewhere in the education field, whether that's a paraprofessional, a student aide, a principal, it could be anything. And that's nice because we meet with a lot of teachers, and we get to talk about the things that you don't really hear about on the day to day. We talk about what it means to become a teacher, what you have to do to become a teacher, and all of those things. And this year, me and my friend Chloe Franklin, also from Riverdale, we are involved. We are two state ambassadors for Educators Rising, which means we will be planning a lot of the events for the year for Educators Rising, which is nice. It's fun to be able to be in that leadership position and take on those roles where we can make decisions collectively. And it's nice to be able to speak with people from other parts of the state that are also involved in the club. But moving on from that, again, drama is an all-year thing because we have our three productions. And then in, I would say, about March, February time is when Forensics and Solo and Ensemble really start to get rolling. Forensics, again, it's all WISDA, Wisconsin Interscholastic Dramatic Arts Association. That's a kind of a mouthful. But Forensics, in the past, I have done prose speaking, which is where I just read almost a short story, and then I'm graded based on eye contact and tone and all of those things. And 2 years ago, I did that, and I got a gold at state. So the next year, I decided, well, I've got to switch it up. I've already got gold, so I've got to do something else. And then this past year, I did solo acting, which is just where I am by myself giving essentially a monologue, and I have to have that memorized and be able to build the character enough and act within that character so that I can get a gold. And I did get a gold this year, so my next big decision is deciding what to do this year, as I already have two golds. You got to move on from that. And I mean, I've perfected it, so I've got to pick something else now, I guess.
Radio broadcasting.
Yeah, I have thought about radio speaking, as two friends from Riverdale have also done that, and they've enjoyed it and done well. So I think that'd be interesting to do. I'm getting my practice in right here.
Yep. Do you want to get into education, though?
Education is, I think I like being able to help people, and I'm a music student. I enjoy music a lot. So I think a very possible job for me is being a music teacher, because I want to be able to use music in my everyday job. I think I want to be able to use what I've learned here in my future job. I don't want to go into a job where I'm not using what I've learned. And I think music would be really fun. Also, to be able to share my love for music with students. And I've also thought about being a Spanish teacher as well, because I love speaking Spanish. And one of my big mentors the past few years was Sarah Pluckelman. She is the elementary school principal, but she was my Spanish teacher for a few years. And she was always a wonderful teacher, and you could just tell by walking into her classroom the love that she had for teaching. And I think that really reached me, along with a lot of my other teachers at Riverdale. Like, just seeing how much they love their job and the students inspired me to be like, oh, this is something I think I want to do. Like, I want to be helping these people like my teachers have helped me. So that's been nice.
Well, you'd be a great teacher, I think. So
thank you.
You bet. Thanks for coming along. We have more on the morning show. We have Mr. Tanner Williamson here as well. We'll talk with him about what he does and his roles here at Riverdale as well when the morning show continues.
Push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in roads, schools, and hospitals while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. On November 5th, I ask for your vote so that we can achieve even more.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
When you're on the move, your convenience stop is Richland Mobile Mart. Start the day with fresh coffee, donuts, and delicious breakfast sandwiches. Make mealtime easy with take-and-bake deli fresh pizzas, kitchen fresh sandwiches, salads, cookies, and so much more. The Mobile Mart also has all your favorite beer, wine, and liquors. Plus, touch-free automatic and self-serve car washes, too, at Richland Mobile Mart, Highway 14 on Richland Center's west side.
A news update today at 6:30 is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today, partly cloudy and cool conditions await. It will be up to around 53 degrees. A frost advisory is in effect for our area until 9 this morning. It's 32 degrees.
From now to October 15th, Court and Main and A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet are offering 36 months of equal payments with no interest on qualified purchases when you use your Synchrony Home Card. For this limited time, make your purchase with affordable monthly installments over 3 years with no interest if paid in full within 36 months. Please note, a 2% promotional charge will be applied by the credit card company. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. A Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet and Court and Main.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. As we check out some news for you today on this Tuesday, October 15th, due to prolonged drought conditions and potential for elevated fire danger, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reinstating burning permits in 13 counties. A permit is now required for burning in a debris pile, a barrel, or in grasslands and wooded areas unless the ground is snow-covered. A burn permit is not required for campfires intended for cooking or warming, but the public is reminded to use extreme caution. All of Columbia, Crawford, Green Lake, Marquette, Portage, Richland, Sauk, Waupaca, and Washira counties, and portions of Oconto, Dane, Grant, and Iowa counties are included. More information is available on the DNR's website. Now is the time to get involved if you want to help with hurricane relief. Red Cross of Wisconsin Executive Director Catherine Halverson says 94 Wisconsin Red Cross volunteers and staff members deployed to help with cleanup after Hurricane Milton. Halverson says the best way people can help is with financial donations, but they can also volunteer to help virtually. More information on ways to help can be found at the Red Cross website, redcrossblood.com.
Minnesotaguide.org. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz kicked off a busy week in the battleground state with a rally at UW-Eau Claire. Walz says he believes the race for the presidency will be won going through Wisconsin. Walz also spoke on the importance of getting young people out to vote. The campus stop was Walz's fifth in Wisconsin since being selected as Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate. A pair of Milwaukee-area park and ride locations are closed to prevent their use of unhoused people. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation announced the closures Monday. A DOT spokesperson said people have set up tents and have been living in spaces meant for commuters to park their vehicles to take Milwaukee County Transit into the city. Multiple police and fire calls have been made to the lots in response to gunshots and overdoses. Social service groups have helped 80 people who had been living in the camps find new homes. A strike is over at the Molson Coors Brewery in Milwaukee. Union machinists were on strike for a week after their previous contract expired. The 43 employees were seeking higher wages and better life-work balance in their hours. A Molson Coors spokesperson says the new three-year contract ensures the plant will keep running and that workers will be well compensated. The Richland School Board of Education met last night. Richland School District business official John Bosworth presented information about the equalized value and levy rate and property tax versus state aid. The board will set the tax levy for the Richland School District at the October 28th meeting. He reported that at this time, there is just a small increase in the factors for the tax levy. The only increase in the tax levy is due to inflation. The fair market value on the tax bill is the same as the equalized value. Bosworth also gave four different scenarios of what the tax levy could be for the 2024-25 preliminary budget. Factors to consider are state aid, levy rate, and future years. The mill rates being considered are $8.56, $8.66, $9.12, and $10.22. Of all the townships, Buena Vista will be the hardest hit due to its 18% increase in equalized value. Many of the board members feel that the rate needs to be kept in the area of the amount that was promised in the referendum. The most popular scenario among board members was number two, which calls for a maximum revenue and paying $100,000. The board unanimously approved scenario two at a levy of $8.66. A referendum project process was approved, which allows the Buildings, Property, and Transportation Committee members to review any bid specs and proposals and select a vendor so long as the decision is unanimous. If any bid selection is not endorsed by all present members of the committee, that bid process would then come to the full board for education, for action, that is, to allow the Buildings, Property, and Transportation Committee chairperson and district administrator to approve changes. Orders up to $25,000 and to allow the Buildings, Property, and Transportation Committee as a whole to approve change orders up to $150,000 if the decision is unanimous by the committee. All other situations will come to the full board for consideration. There will be no school in the Richland School District Wednesday. It is an in-service day, and parent-teacher conferences will be held from 11 until 7. The Richland School District's annual meeting and budget hearing will be held Monday, October 21st at 6:30 in the Richland Center High School, IMC. The average price of gasoline rose 3.7 cents per gallon in the last week. The average across the state was just over $3, $3.03 yesterday. This is 5.6 cents higher than a month ago, but over 20 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say Iran's attack on Israel is responsible for the slight climb in prices at the pump. While Hurricane Milton has left a third of all stations in Florida without gas, the storm itself is not impacting prices. Oil prices are recently starting to fall again, so we could start to see a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead.
Find the inspiration that matches your style and give your home's entrance a new look from All American Do It Center. A stylish new ThermaTrue front entry door can increase your home's curb appeal and perceived value by 4.2% on average. Front entry single or double doors or with side lights come in a variety of colors from ThermaTrue, plus utility doors to match. Consult the building materials team at All American Do It Center in Thomas, Sparta, and Richland Center.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 53, partly cloudy and cool conditions. Mainly clear and cool with a hard freeze tonight and a low of 25. Sunny and pleasant Wednesday and 58. There's a frost advisory for the entire area through about 9 this morning. And then tomorrow morning, a freeze warning from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. for a very frosty morning tomorrow. Also looking ahead, Thursday 65, Friday 70, and Saturday and Sunday, it will be lower to middle 70s. Currently at the WRCO studios, we're at 31 degrees.
Tim Walz was raised on a farm in Nebraska. Kamala Harris was born to an immigrant family in Oakland. Tim Walz enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17. Kamala Harris worked at McDonald's to get through school. Together, this team will never forget where they came from and the hardworking families and Americans they're working for.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
And I'll tell you, this is personal. The middle class is where I come from. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. We will create what I call an opportunity economy where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up in sports, a look at the local and area schedule for today and tonight, and details on a Bucks win in the preseason and the Major League Baseball results as well, and how it's happened so far. So we look out some things that have happened in sports, including some exciting baseball from last night, and Aaron Rodgers threw another Hail Mary, but his team didn't win.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On the local and area schedule tonight, we'll have high school volleyball. Richland Center hosts Lancaster. It is the second to the last match of the regular season for the Hornets. Also, there is soccer in the area. Richland Center is playing at River Valley for soccer action. Varsity will play at 7, JV around 5 today. Also for River Valley, volleyball action going on this evening as the girls will be hosting Dodgeville. Kickapoo is in action tonight as they take on Seneca girls volleyball. Ithaca is home against Lafarge, and Weston will be home against Wazika Steuben in the Ridge and Valley for volleyball. The Boscobel girls volleyball teams will be home to host Cuba City, and Riverdale will be at Iowa Grant in SWAL play. The Bucks last night were winners, 111-107 against Chicago. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 24 points and Damian Lillard 20 in the exhibition season game. And Coach Doc Rivers talked about the contest.
Listen, I don't want to be down, but it was good for them to gather defensively and start moving the ball. I thought the first half, even though it was more our defense and the offensive rebounds and the hustle plays, but I thought offensively we didn't share the ball. We didn't play together. I mean, we were shooting 50%. Like, it's hard to complain, but we wasn't playing right. And then in the first 8 minutes, the ball's hopping. We're getting wide open threes, wide open layups, deep posts. That's who we have to be. So that was better.
Look hard, but you won't find any Big Ten men's basketball teams in the top 10 of the first Associated Press poll. The highest-ranked team is Purdue at number 14. Indiana is ranked 17th. UCLA checks in at 22, and Rutgers at 25. The Wisconsin Badger men's team got just 5 points from the voters, and that would place Coach Greg Gard's squad around number 45. Major League Baseball, managing the streaming broadcasts of Brewers' 2025 games, brings with it possible challenges. Blackouts will no longer be a frustrating factor for fans, but there is a financial downside. When the Minnesota Twins switched to MLB, that team had to slice payroll by $30 million. There are questions about Milwaukee remaining competitive despite a string of recent successful seasons. Houston Texans defensive tackle Mario Edwards Jr. will miss the game at Green Bay this weekend. Edwards has finally started to show why he was drafted in the second round. Now he's going to be sidelined for 4 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drugs policy. The Packers are one of 4 teams in the league with more than 1,000 yards rushing this season. They can be expected to try to exploit the Texans' defense. Coach Matt LaFleur talked about the Texans' offense during his press conference yesterday.
I think their offense is a lot different, too, when Mixon's back. He ripped off a couple of long runs yesterday. The physicality with which he runs the football is different than most. So he'll be a big challenge. I think C.J. Stroud is, I mean, he is as talented as anybody. He's got a lot of weapons to throw, too.
Last night, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills overcame a Hail Mary touchdown throw by Aaron Rodgers as the first half ended to beat the Jets by a score of 23-20 and take control of the AFC East. Allen threw 2 touchdown passes and ran for another score, and Tyler Bass made up for an earlier miss by kicking a go-ahead 22-yard field goal with 3:43 remaining. Juan Soto homered during New York's 3-run third inning. Carlos Rodon got his first postseason win, and the Yankees took advantage of Cleveland's wildness in a 5-2 victory in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Francisco Lindor and Mark Vientos homered as the Mets stopped the Dodgers' record-tying postseason scoreless streak in a 7-3 victory, tying the National League Championship Series at 1 game apiece. That's an update on sports on this Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Nee. You're only as old as you feel. May be a cliche, but it holds some truth. Exercising can boost your energy, improve your mood, and lower your stress. At Simon's Recreation Complex, they have many older adult members who prove every day that you are never too old to exercise. Tanner, you've got a lot of things to talk about here today. The program's going well.
Absolutely. We have a lot of great offerings at our school. So at first, I'm just going to list some of these off because I'll probably reference them later on. But right now, so we start our academic career planning in sixth grade. Then it continues on well and through high school. And when you get to high school, we have a lot of options for you. We've got the AP courses, which are, that's a pretty standard thing amongst high schools nowadays. And then we got transcripted credit classes, which is like working through Southwest Tech, and CAP classes. Also, that's a partnership with UW Oshkosh. Then we've got a couple other partnerships with Southwest Tech with Start College Now and College Edge Up. And then we've got the Early College Credit Program, which is with all UW schools. So through all those opportunities, Riverdale will pay for 18 credits for our students. So they have a lot of opportunities to start their progress towards their college degree if that's the way they're looking.
Didn't you have a student last year that kind of set the bar pretty high?
Yeah, we had a student that actually reached, I believe, over 50 credits in college credits. So they could have they could have graduated their college program in 2 years. I believe they're choosing to kind of spread it out a little more. But, I mean, if especially if you're a student that's looking to go 7-8 years of schooling, such as a medical field or something, if you could cut your 4-year program into a 2-year program, it's such a huge advantage, not only cost savings, but time and just opportunity in general, because you never know what that saved time is going to provide you.
Are those classes then after the regular high school and nights and weekends and things like that, or how does that work?
Yeah, you can do either or. So a lot of kids or students, when they start out with these classes, they will have a dedicated period in the day. We usually encourage that so that they can kind of get a feel for what it's like to work with the higher level content. But if they get more versed in the programs, we can kind of see where they're at, and if they want to do that work on their own, such as at home on the weekends, certainly a lot of students do that too, and also in the summer too.
Southwest Tech is right there in your backyard, basically, at Riverdale. You work quite a bit in partnership with them, don't you?
Yeah, yep. We have a lot of different working partnerships with Southwest Tech. I'm pretty lucky. I get to work with my sister, who's their dual credit coordinator, Brianna Fortney. So we work hand-in-hand, kind of making these opportunities or keeping them available and just getting everything going. But yeah, our students really do a great job of utilizing those programs, and our staff do a great job of, you know, if there's an opportunity that we aren't offering, let's figure out how we can offer that too. I think that's a great thing that sets our staff, our school in general apart, or just makes it so successful, is that our staff take these our relationships with the students very seriously and put a lot of intentional effort into the students. And what you see from that is when you're having an intentional conversation with a student about their interests or what they care about, it just naturally progresses into, oh, well, we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity here or there. And just turns into a lot of great opportunities that, you know, I heard a story the other day at a meeting. A guy who was a very successful tech ed teacher, he had never even thought about being a teacher until his tech ed teacher stopped him for a 40-second conversation in the hallway one day. Completely changed his life, just that small conversation. So I think our caring staff providing those opportunities for, you know, insight into the future is what really has made all of these programs so successful for us.
Education, I know when you were in Riverdale School, these opportunities weren't necessarily there. Would you have taken maybe the same path or have gone a different way? Do you have those?
I think I definitely would have ended up in education. Hearing Alex talk about, you know, why she wants to be an educator, I can echo everything she said. I had this similar experience at Riverdale, super positive, and that's what made me want to get into the field. But yeah, the options have certainly changed. When I went through high school, youth options was the main opportunity, and I left high school with about 3 credits, which was great, I thought. Mm-hmm. But now when you hear about students leaving with 50, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 credits, yeah, it's the opportunities have certainly increased, and it's obviously a great thing for our students, especially the ones that are aiming towards a college degree. But I think in the past couple of years, the emphasis has kind of switched from let's get them ready for college to just let's get career ready. And we have a lot of opportunities in that area too.
You have several students that are doing the school to work process as well?
Yep, we have 20 plus kids that are working in work experience. And then we also have the youth apprenticeship program, which is sometimes used through the school to work program, but just a great opportunity to get out into the community and start getting some, you know, on the job learning and use the skills that we're teaching them in our classes too.
This has to be rewarding for you to see students excelling. That, can you talk about any other success stories?
There's a lot of them. Thankfully, you know, right now we have a student that is really enthusiastic about a career in the medical field. She's a junior, and she's almost halfway through the MA program, the medical assistant. So, I mean, and her goal is to be a medical assistant as she's going into further her schooling. So just, it's really cool to see the enthusiasm chasing down those dreams like that. Another student last year, we had a senior graduate the Southwest Tech welding program. So he, a week before his high school graduation, he graduated from college with his welding certificate. So, I mean, the opportunities for that, or that that provides, are just endless. I mean, he's a year ahead, and yeah, that's just the cost savings and everything. It's just a great opportunity. You know, I have a lot of students that come back to us that say, you know, they took 20, 30 credits into college with them, and some of them go in as sophomores or even beyond. And, you know, a lot of those students are looking to go beyond a four-year program. And like I mentioned, just a huge opportunity to save that amount of time and money, of course.
For area employers, they got to be really enthused about that, getting people into the workforce, which is badly needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're pretty lucky, I think, and I think it's something that's increasing, is these partnerships with local employers, and it's definitely a goal that we want to keep pursuing. Is, you know, like the thing I think in my head is, like, keep the local talent local. And, you know, Jeff talked about our school board members. We're so lucky to have, you know, graduates still contributing to our school. And, you know, through the youth apprenticeship program, through CESA 3 and the Department of Wisconsin Workforce Development, they, you know, there's so many opportunities around here, just in so many different fields, to get those on-the-job experiences. And, you know, most of these experiences go really well, and these students are able to network, you know, that most people, these network opportunities that most people don't get until after they graduate college, really, and they're getting them before they even enter college. And it's just a huge advantage. And you know, some partnerships, you know, we have a lot of students working at Meisters right now. We've had some opportunities presented us to our students through Richland Hospital and Gunderson Bosco also. And, you know, a lot, it's becoming more, more common, it seems like, that they want to get into schools so that they can hopefully grab the talent before it heads off somewhere else.
For a student, too, I think it's important to get out in the community and make connections, you know, because I remember when I went to school, you know, you knew the people in your group, but you didn't know people in the community. It really helps to have those connections, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our staff has done a great job in providing those opportunities outside of what I've already mentioned. You know, last year, we had a really successful career job fair. It was, I think we had 35-plus employers present at that, and we send all of the junior high school building, all the students get to go through, talk with employers, and we get really great feedback from the employers, and just starting that, you know, starting that networking right away for the students, that, you know, and sometimes it turns into a summer job, or maybe it's just a little exposure on what is available out there in the world, because that's usually a big thing, is the students just don't really know what options they have out there. And then the other opportunity we did last year that was new was Alumni Day, and we brought in, I think it was 40-plus alumni members to present to our students, and it was in related career fields that they were interested in. And another great opportunity that, you know, really exposed the students to, holy cow, like, never thought about that type of career. And also it was just really cool to see alumni members, you know, they were fired up, and they really enjoyed just trying to give back to the community.
That's a great thing. Jeff, things are hot and happening at Riverdale these days, it sounds like.
Yeah, they sure are. And tonight at our board meeting, we'll approve the courses that we're looking and the students, and look to approve those courses for the students that will be taking those classes in the spring, and talk about our AP results, which we had a really successful year last year on, and we'll set the stage for this next year.
Yeah, the pupil count a couple of weeks ago, right?
We did. Yep.
Enrollment.
Yep. We're declining as a small school, but, you know, that was kind of expected with a small 4K class coming in and a large senior class going out. So we'll keep building those numbers up.
Did you want to mention sources of strength here today?
Yeah, we'll probably have somebody come in a little bit in the future to talk about this. But this is a great mental health program, and the state's been a big push, and you'll hear a lot of that in the biannual budget of school districts getting more resources towards student mental health, because it's a serious issue that we're seeing with our students, and we need to tackle it. And we do a pretty good job with our focus on building relationships and making sure everybody has a person within the school that they can rely on, a staff member, and all kinds of staff members. But that is a program that we're running that we'll probably talk more in depth on a program coming up here. But Katrina Johnson, who's a Riverdale graduate, really runs this for a number of area schools and runs these grants. She's an exceptional individual that has really spearheaded this and continues to make this program a success in area schools.
That's awesome. And your one-act play, Chris, you guys are performing Saturday. When is that again?
Saturday at 2:30 p.m. We are at Reedsburg High School. There will be three schools there. We're at 2:30. Reedsburg is at 3:30. Barneveld is at 4:30. Free admission for anybody who wants to come, and I guarantee you'll see some great plays from some great programs in this part of the state.
Do you put it on for the public then, other than that competition?
We will. We haven't set a date for that yet. Ordinarily, we do it in conjunction with parent-teacher conferences, but those are going on a little earlier than usual, so we'll have to find a date where all the kids are able to make it. And yes, we will do it for the public.
And if you get that top rating this weekend, then where do you go after that?
After that, we would go to Wanakee in 2 weeks
and
perform there.
Good.
Yes.
That way you don't lose your lines then, right, Alex? You remember your lines well?
Yeah. It's the period between our first and second performance is always a bit nerve-wracking if we can move on. But a couple of people that have been in drama this year and last year, we all really like Wanakee High School. It's a nice place to go.
Boy, howdy.
It is a wonderful auditorium, and if you've been there before or even to Reedsburg, even that is just a step up from what we have at Riverdale. And it's, even if you don't get past your first level, it is a great experience being able to just go to one of those larger theaters and being able to